this meeting right here isn't taking place in a building like this. Okay, we're meeting in somebody's house, maybe out in the wilderness. Okay, and then now all of you, you know, the married couples, let's imagine that each of you is about to have a baby. Now you're going to bring a child into this world. Maybe you got saved out of Catholicism during this, but now your child's going to know nothing outside of running for their life. Running for their life because of your beliefs. Because you won't submit to the tyrannical authority of the Roman Catholic Church. And they hunt you down and they want to kill you. When a year before that child of yours was born, you witnessed your brother or your sister being burned at the stake. You witnessed your older child, maybe, drowned to death. And you're bringing a child up in that, and that's all this child's ever known. And this is how they've lived their life, just constantly running from place to place. They think maybe we have a home for 3 or 4 years, but we're always in fear. We're always looking over our shoulder. Always have to be careful what we say. And this is the life that we're living. What an almost miserable way to live. Because we want to follow the dictates of our conscience. And the one thing we'd have to continually remind ourselves is the promises of God's word, that we seek a better resurrection, that blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's what we'd have to cling to. We'd have to cling to that promise, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because we endured affliction. And I'm not talking like we came to church when we had a cold affliction. I'm talking like serious affliction. Maybe it was you, they caught you and you were in prison for 3 years and you escaped. They beat you, they tortured you. You know, put yourself there. Ladies, as they drag your husband off, and if they caught all of us, we'd all be in prison in one room, maybe. Many times that's what they do. They have all the heretics in one room. They just be in, you know, just the worst of the worst you can think of. It's not like prison like we think of here in America. Nothing like that. Disgusting, filthy, you're all in one room. And then they come in and they grab one of the men and haul him off. And you're just praying, wife. The others of the church are praying that he has the strength and he doesn't turn his back on the Lord during the torturing, as they put him on the rack and they bring him in and he can't even walk when he comes in. They drag him in and his bones are dislocated as they had him on the rack and stretched him, beat him and tortured him, and he just collapses there. Should they turn their back on God? Do they have something to be bitter about? I mean, couldn't they stand there and say, God, I'm following you. Why is this happening? I'm doing what you said, God. Why is this happening? This is what our forefathers went through. This is what people have endured for the faith that we should hold dear. And yet, what would get them through that? The fact that God keeps his promises. That God is faithful. God uses our circumstances to keep his promises, even through those. I forget who it was, maybe Irenaeus, but it's a popular quote, but it says that the blood of the saints, I've just lost it now. Is the basically like the fuel of the church or something? It spreads the church through the blood of the saints. As the saints' blood is shed, that's what's used to grow the church. And the church, and we understand what I mean when I say church. I'm using it in a generic sense, not in a universal sense. But the churches, when they are persecuted, thrived. They grew. And God uses our circumstances to keep His promises. All through that persecution, He uses that to keep His promises, to show Himself faithful, to continue seeing souls saved, to see even some of those captors saved. There's just amazing testimonies out there. So we have to remember that just because bad and seemingly unfair things happen to us, it does not stop God from keeping His promises. We can't lose sight of that, Christian. That's what you have to hold to. That's what you have to cling to. Because just bad things are going to happen in your life. Get ready for it. Okay, bad things are going to happen. Things you don't like are going to happen. And we need to be ready for that. And we need to trust God through it, even when we don't understand why. Because there's going to be things that happen we don't understand why. We just have to keep trusting God. Keep serving Him. Joseph, I'm sure, didn't understand why all of this was happening. He said, why am I being sold into slavery? Why in a foreign land? Why is this taking place? He didn't understand all that God was doing, how God was using those circumstances to keep His promises. This is why we have to have the faith of a child. A child doesn't understand why a parent does certain things. Why a parent says, no, you can't do that. No, you can't have that. A child doesn't understand that, but a child just trusts. I mean, you can walk your children, you can literally walk your children, you know, out in the middle of this road right here. And they'll follow you. Because a child just trusts. That's what a child does. And that's the type of faith that we need to have, that we'll go where God leads us, even though we don't understand why. Because as the father, you can see and you say, this is going to be best. And I'm not talking about leading them in the road, okay? But I'm saying there's things you're going to take your children through they don't want to do. There's things you're going to make them do that they're afraid to do and they don't want to, but it's for their own good. It's for their benefit. That you're going to have to push them into it. You're going to have to force them into some situations in order to teach them some things. They're going to have to be uncomfortable maybe at times. They're going to have to be scared at times. But you need to push them through that for their own good, for their own growth, for their own health. And it's the same thing for us. A little child might not understand it. A young child might not understand it. A teenager might not understand why you're doing what you're doing. But you do because you have wisdom that God's given you and you can see farther down the road. And it's the same way with us. God says, you don't understand what's happening right now, but just wait. If you'll just give me 10 years, wait. It'll make sense in 10 years. You don't get it right now. Will you just trust me? Will you just follow me right now? That's what God expects of us. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. This is the Christian life. This is what God expects of us. And I'm talking about even... let's go beyond that, talking about persecution and some of our Baptist forefathers that have gone before us, and they never like realized it in this life. They followed God their whole life here on earth, their whole Christian life. Once they got saved, they followed God their whole life, and it was nothing but persecution. It's what about them? They had a better resurrection, as Hebrews talks about. That's what they got. See, the promise was still fulfilled. They'll have a better resurrection. That means you can have a not better resurrection. And that's where we get into the kingdom and understanding that. And see, you don't have to live that life of faith. You really don't. I mean, I'm not God, I can't say, but when you look at Joseph's life versus some of his brothers' lives, you're like, wonder who's going to have a better resurrection. and who went through what. But the promise is still fulfilled. God will use your circumstances to keep his promises. God will use your circumstances to try you. A lot of time, everyone blames the devil for the problems in life. It's not always the devil. Sometimes God says, I'm going to put you through the ringer. You ready? Let's go. I'm right here. You ready? Come on. Grab my finger. We're going. You ready? And at any time, we can just say, no, that's... He says, well, you're still going through it. Because now you don't have me. Or you're not with me, rather. He says, I might still be there. He could still be there. I'm not saying that. But the promise is still fulfilled. God still keeps his promises. Even though in this life it might not seem like, man, they had it miserable in this life. How can you say God keeps his promises? God never promises that everything's going to be great and happy and we're always going to have what we want here in this life. But we're not supposed to live for this life. Remember, we're pilgrims. We're strangers and foreigners. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. We're not of this world. We're part of his church. We're called out. Remember, we're called out to his glorious kingdom. See, we're members of a heavenly kingdom, and that's what we're to live for. Jesus said, don't store up treasures here on earth. That stuff can be moth-eaten. It can be destroyed with rust. Thieves can break in and steal it. He says, here's where you need to store up treasure in heaven, where the moths don't go, the rust doesn't show up, and the thieves can't break in and steal. That's where you need to put your treasures, in heaven. That's where the promises will be revealed. But that takes faith to believe that. See, we have to have faith to believe that. We have to have faith to make the decision to say, that's what I'm going to live for. I'm going to live for the future. And to do that means then you have to believe the promises of God. You have to believe God's word. See, people that don't do the things that God says, that don't live according to what the Bible teaches, no matter what their profession is with their mouth, those that don't live what the Bible says, evidence for you their faith. Okay, they're showing you their faith, and that's what James was talking about. Amen. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You can see their faith. You can see what they really believe. You can see if somebody really believes the Bible by how they live. Do I really believe the promises of God? Do I really believe that if I'm not a good and faithful servant, I'll be thrown in outer darkness? Do I really believe that? Do I really believe that I can hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Do I really believe that I can have a better resurrection? Then that's when we need to look at people like Joseph and say, what did Joseph do when he was in, just some horrible, miserable trials that he honestly did nothing to deserve? When you look at his life, he didn't do anything to deserve that. But he still went through them, and God says, I've got a purpose in all this, Joseph. I know you didn't ask for it. I know it's not fair, but I've got a purpose in it. And you'll get it one of these days. Not yet, but one of these days it's going to make sense to you. And not even when things started turning around for him did he get it. It still didn't make sense. Because he got thrown back in prison. But one day it came and it made sense to him. He saw and he told all his brothers after their father died. That's when he said, now I get it. I understand why I went through all of this. But through it all, he believed God's promises. He was faithful, and that's what we have to do. We need to remember that God keeps his promises no matter what we go through, no matter what we face, no matter how bad it may be. And I'm telling you, I want you to hold on to this. Hold on to what I'm telling you, because some trial may come, something horrific, something horrible, and it's going to mess you up. It's going to throw you for a loop. It will. And you need to be ready to just say, I'm going to keep following God. I don't get this. I don't understand this. You're going to be weeping your eyes out. You're going to be just heartbroken. I don't know what it's going to be, but something's going to come because life happens. because life happens. And just decide right now, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to follow God. That's the best time to make decisions, is when things are good. When you're close to God, when you're walking with Him, say, God, this is how I want it all the time. God, I'm never going to stop following You. God, no matter what comes, I'm going to remember the answered prayers You've done for me. I'm going to remember how You've worked in my life. And God, I'm never going to stop following You. God, help me never stop following You. Help me to always trust You, to always believe Your word, to always walk in truth. Even when I don't understand it, God, help me to do it. Because the time will come, I promise you. The time will come when your faith will be tested. And that's the only time you know if it's real. Do you believe God's promises? God uses our circumstances to keep His promises. It says in verse 8, and He gave him the covenant of circumcision. He gave it to Abraham. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. Now we get into Joseph, but he mentions Abraham here being given the covenant of circumcision, him passing it to Isaac, and Isaac passing it to Jacob, and Jacob to the 12 patriarchs. Without parents that will teach their children about God, it will not continue. For Joseph to have been in a place where he can believe God's promises, it had to get to him. He had to understand it. He had to know about God. And that only came through a parent teaching him. And that is a grave responsibility for before each of us. And I know some of you aren't parents, but one day you most likely will be a parent. And it's no one else's responsibility but yours to teach your children about God. It is your responsibility to teach them about God. Now, part of that responsibility includes getting them to a Bible preaching New Testament church. But even beyond that, it's not like, I got them there, take over, Pastor. Here you go. No, you need to teach them. Deuteronomy 6, you need to live it. That's how they're going to learn the most. That's how children learn. How many of you ever noticed, like, little kids pick up your bad habits? Like, I never taught them that. Why are they doing that? Because they pick that up first. They don't pick up the good ones. You know, they really don't pick up the good habits. You got to, like, beat those into them. I mean, you really do. They tend not to pick those up. They'll pick up the bad ones, though. But see, they will eventually learn by our example whether it be good or bad. And we have to model it for them. We've got to live it for them. This is how it came to Joseph. Something was there that he saw. It is a parent's responsibility to pass their faith on to the next generation. In Psalm 78, verses 5 and 6, it says, for He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. This is what's expected. So we need to teach our children what God says, but we need to teach our children to teach their children. This is what needs to take place. This is why it's so important that they're saturated with the Word of God, that they're presented with the truth so that God can begin working in their hearts when they're young. I mean, man, I think this is something great to do. When a woman is pregnant, just start playing the scriptures in your house so your baby can hear it. I mean, when you lay your child down at night in their crib, when they're 1 month old and you lay them down to go to bed, play scripture. Play scripture for them. Let them fall asleep to scripture. Let them fall asleep to the Word of God. Let your home be saturated with the Word of God. Have scripture up on the walls. I mean, have a memory verse where you put that up. I mean, just scripture everywhere so that this is a part of your life. Even if your kids are older, I mean, we still do this. We still have scripture. We still have a weekly verse that everyone gets to pick. We go through our house on cleaning day. Someone new picks a verse and puts a verse up there. And that's there for us just to look at when we're in our house. It's there on a picture frame that we just put some decorative stuff behind it. And we just use, dry erase? A dry erase, and the person writes it on the glass of the picture frame. And they put the verse that they want. But just have scripture before your family all the time. It's our responsibility to teach our children to put it before them. Why? So that God can begin working in their hearts. And that from a child, Timothy, thou hast known the holy scriptures. From a child, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. That tends to tell me he didn't get saved till he was an adult. Now he's a young adult because Paul told him, let no man despise thy youth. But he was getting it from the time he was a child. He knew the holy scriptures. And this is what we have to do with our children. It needs to be a part of their life. So if it's going to be a part of their life, how do I make that happen? Well, that leads me to just logically conclude that it must be a part of my life. They need to just see it in me. That's what I need to do as a parent then. So then I need to live that. We've got enough, you know, hypocrite Christians out there. We don't need more of that. Be real. I mean, put verses and teach your children, here's what it means, and then show them what it means. Explain it to them. This is what it looks like. Confessing sin. You know, show them what that looks like. When you're wrong and you've sinned against your child, show them what it looks like. I mean, there's been more times than I care to recount where I've had to bring my family together and apologize to my family for sinning, for just being a poor father. That's, you're teaching your children what confession is. This is what it means. I'm owning my sin. And I'm admitting it, and I'm saying it's wrong. I'm agreeing with God that what I did was wrong. Model Christianity to them. Show them what it looks like. When they take something that you told them not to, tell them that's stealing. And whoop them for it. Whoop them. God's not going to take it light. You're teaching them. You're explaining to them. You're letting them see this is what our actions have consequences. And through this, I'm teaching you the scriptures, and these are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Let it be real to them. Show them what it looks like, but it has to be real in your life for you to transfer it to them, for you to do what Psalm 78 says. He says that we need to make them known what the commandments of God to their children, to our children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. See, what a responsibility we have. For Joseph to do what he did, to live how he lived, to have the integrity that he had, means someone had to teach him about God. Someone was teaching him. Someone was showing him. And it was real to him. And that's what we have to do. For someone to endure the trials of life in the manner in which Joseph did, then they have to believe that God keeps his promises. That's faith. When you begin teaching your children, especially when they're little, man, their faith will just blow you away. I mean, it'll embarrass your faith. I'm just telling you right now, little kids' faith will embarrass your faith. I mean, you'll hear them pray and you'll be like, yeah, right. Why do we think that? They believe God. Why don't we? Maybe I'm the only one that's like done that before. I don't know. Is it anybody else? Please help me. All right. There's at least two of us in here that have thought something like that. I'm telling you, their faith is just like, man, off the charts. They just believe God. It says of Israel that Israel limited the Holy One, the children of Israel limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited him. We limit God because we don't believe him. I mean, yeah, we say and we know that, yes, God can do anything, but he's not going to do that for me. I mean, we know he can do it, but we say, he's not going to do that for me. Don't we? I mean, I do. I'm not proud of it, but I do. Teach your children the Word of God. It has to be transferred. We'll stop there. I've got a lot to go through, and we'll continue with this, looking at modeling our faith for our children. But this thing of modeling our faith is really preparing our children for a lifetime of following and serving God. We have to do that for them. We're preparing them to have a better resurrection. We're preparing them to meet God. And it's our responsibility to do that, to teach them these things, so that they can stand before God and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, yes, at some point they have to make the choice to choose God. But this is why it's so important that we are teaching them these truths. You know, I think all of us wish we could go back knowing what we know now to raise our children. I know I wish I could go back. I mean, there's a lot of things I would do different and better. But you can only do what you knew. You can't change it. Like, I wish, man, I look at some of you and I'm like, man, you guys are so blessed to know all this, to have this information before you. You don't understand how blessed you are. Like, I had to learn this stuff as we were going. And I get it. I get it. Parenting is learning as you go. But so much of the information that you just get handed to you on a plate, like, I had to, like, pick it as I'm running by trying to, like, teach my children and train them. I'm like, there's something. Oh, hey, I got that. Yeah. Let's do this. As our children are growing up, and even still now, that's kind of how it is. We're trying to figure things out with our kids in each phase. And what I'm trying to do is I want to get it to you all before, so you can at least have some idea of what I need to do. How do I need to raise my children? How can I? And a lot of what I give you is, how can you not make the mistakes I made? Okay, that's like a lot of it. It's just like, oh, here's where I crashed and burned right here. Maybe this will help them not to crash and burn. Not to make this mistake. And I'll tell you one thing, every time I've compromised, afterwards, I'm like, why did I do it? I should have just come down hard from the get-go. I should have just had the standard right from the get-go. I never should have compromised on that. Because now it's like 1,000 times harder when they're like, well, you used to let us. I'm like, I know, but we don't now. Okay, I mean, that's just one thing. I still don't even know that I've learned it. I'm still learning that lesson, I think. But we got to prepare our children. We got to prepare them. And if we can give them just even one step up on the rung above where we started, that's better than where we started. I mean, honestly, I'd like to just be like, stand on the bottom rung and just kind of have them up there. If as high as I can push them is where I'd like them. I mean, even if I can just give them a poof, so grab on when you get as high as you can. You know, I want to do that. I just want to get them up there, farther, closer. But it's our responsibility to prepare them for whatever life may throw at them. What if it's not your spouse that dies? What if it's your child's spouse that dies? What if it's your grandchild that gets cancer and dies? How have you prepared your child to be ready for that? And I know it's not all our responsibility as far as how they handle it, because they're going to have to choose for themselves. Just like we will, if it comes to us, we have to choose for ourselves. But man, if we can prepare them as we're looking at this, I mean, somebody did a good job preparing Joseph for what he had to face. Somebody did something right there. And it was his parents. That was the only place he was going to get it. He wasn't going to get it from his brothers. It was his parents. His grandparents. Somebody got it to him. And that's what we have to do. That's a responsibility before all of us, to teach our children, to teach even our grandchildren, that God keeps his promises. We can trust God. We trust him even when we don't see where it's going. Father, we love you.